So Lord, as we open the word before you, we pray that this time we have together in worship, thanksgiving and prayer would be a blessing to your heart. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. This reading from Luke and chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. Now behold, two of them were travelling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things that happened there these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Then he said to them, "O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther, but they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" So we have this wonderful account of the Lord's appearance after his death, after his resurrection, to these two men as they walked to Emmaus. And when they reached the home that they were headed to in the village of Emmaus, they asked the Lord to stay with them, so he went in to stay with them as their guest. But when they sat at the table, he took the bread rather than the host. He made himself the host. He took the bread and broke it. He gave thanks for it, and then he broke it and gave it to them. And at this point, their eyes were opened, and they realized that this was Jesus, the risen from the dead, who was with them. So we ask, what was happening here? Was this a breaking of bread meeting? Of course not. They were just simply having a meal together. So why did he break the bread? We break the bread too. Why did he break the bread? He broke the bread because he was sharing it. There's one loaf which they all share. It's probably about this big, it's round, it's probably about this thick. And it's a bread that you break if you're going to share it. So at a meal, generally the host would take the bread, give thanks, and break it. It's like serving the rice. And this is the beginning of the meal. So when the Lord broke the bread on this occasion, he was doing what was very common and normal. He was sharing the bread. So we break the bread. And the reason we break the bread is also to share it, because the Lord Jesus came to share his life with us. He didn't come just to give us rules to obey. He didn't come to leave us as orphans. But he came in order that we would share his life, we would have his life. And as we share this bread together, we're sharing one loaf, so to speak. One life is being shared amongst us. All of God's children partake of this one bread. All of us share the one life. And in this we have the glorious picture of one church, one family. It's, when we break the bread, we're breaking it to share. The Lord gave himself for us. But in giving himself for us, he was giving himself so that we would know his life. I am the bread of life, he said. So as we partake of this bread, we're remembering him. He who came, who died, who rose in order to share his life with us. He dwelling in us by the Holy Spirit. We can't look at one another and say, who are you? If you're my brother or my sister in Christ, then you share him who I also share. And he is in you who loves you and who loves me equally. We can't despise one another. We have the privilege of serving one another because we recognize that we share his love and his life. So this morning we're going to do things a little differently as we've done before. We will sing, we'll pray, give thanks. You can give thanks with one word, one sentence, whatever. You can request a hymn, you can read some scripture to share in this time of worship and thanksgiving and remembering him. Remember that Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. We don't do it because it's Sunday. We do it to remember him. So instead of bringing the bread to you, we're asking you to come. You can come forward and take the bread when you're ready to do that. And so first of all, we'll take part in the bread, and then after that, we'll say something about the cup, and then we'll share the cup together. Let us give thanks. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for this which you've given us, this witness, this testimony. It is you who's put it into our hands. The connection goes right back to that upper room. We bless your holy name that we can share together. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you came and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Lord, we thank you. We will remember you. We love you. Thank you for the bread. Thank you for the cup. Thank you that we can share it together in peace. Bless your holy name. Amen. If you'd like to, you still like to take part in the bread, come now and do that while we're speaking. So reading from John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, are you washing my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I am doing you do not understand now, but you will know after this." Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." So John introduces this extraordinary scene with that introduction where he says, Jesus knew that his hour had come that he should depart from the world to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and he had come from God and was going to God. So the Lord Jesus alone knew what was ahead of him and why and what it involved. His disciples didn't understand. So he rose from supper, and this would be a normal thing for the host to do, and to go and to wash his hands, and then others would follow. So when he arose from supper, nobody took particular notice of this. But then he undressed. It says he laid aside his garments, plural. It may be that the Lord stripped himself down to be like a slave. Maybe he had a bare chest and just something around his waist. And he poured water into a basin and, like a slave, came to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And this was so horrifying. This was so wrong as far as Peter was concerned. And he said in very strong language, "Lord, my feet, you washing? No way." And the Lord said to him, "You don't understand now, but you will understand later." Well, Peter didn't hear that. He didn't respond to that. He just said, he was just so shocked that Jesus would do this. He said, "You'll never wash my feet. I'll never permit it." And the Lord's answer immediately was, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." So, you know, this for us, this can appear to be something beautiful, but it was something really shocking. And in Peter's response is tells us how shocking it was. What was he doing? Why would he do this? Where was his dignity? Why would he strip off and come at our feet like a slave? Why would he do this? And he was showing them many things, but he was showing them what he was going to do for them. That he was going to be much more than stripped off and washing feet. He was going to go to the cross, and he was going to be humiliated unimaginably. The Son of God treated like this. He was going to go through the horrors and the shame of the cross for them. Why? To wash them so that they would have a part with him. So this scene, which the disciples saw, and were, you could imagine, you know, the 15 minutes or 20 minutes or whatever it took for him to go around the 12 and wash their feet, you could imagine how uncomfortable they felt. Well, it was necessary for them to see this is what it was going to take for them to have a part with him. So we share the cup together. This cup is the new covenant in his blood. And, you know, if this was the first century, we would understand that by his blood. We're not talking about simply a substance of blood. We're talking about blood shed, and blood shed in the most horrible way. But that's what it took in order that we should be washed, in order that we should have part with him. And having paid so great a price, the part we have with him is a covenant that's been sealed in blood, bloodshed, sacrifice. the Lamb. So we partake of this together. It's one cup. We all partake of the one. There's no division, old or young, experienced, new to the faith. Makes no difference. One salvation, one Saviour, one Lord, one covenant. We're bound together by this. And we remember him who so much wanted us to have a part with him that he went to this extent and paid this price. We're remembering that he suffered, but above all, we're remembering that we're joined with him in a covenant sealed with blood. Thank you, Lord, for the cup that we share. We bless your holy, precious name. Amen.